Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour, presented by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon. Now your hosts, Danny Houle and Butch Thurman, on News Talk 1290, KUMA, and FM 96.5.
Interesting program for today. Our conversation centers on outdoor school. Chris Elliott, OSU Extension Office in Corvallis, joins us along with Mark Mulvihill, Superintendent of Intermountain ESD. And we'll begin that conversation coming up right after this.
The Pendleton Roundup in Happy Canyon began over 100 years ago with the goal of creating an event that would benefit the community. Today, it continues to build upon its tradition of raising money for local charities. Thursday of Roundup Week each year is known as Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day, where Roundup fans are encouraged to wear pink as we stand together in support of cancer patients in care and recovery. This is a national campaign promoted by rodeo and Western lifestyle events. Each community keeps the money raised to benefit its own local patients. The Pendleton Roundup in Happy Canyon began its Tough Enough to Wear Pink program in 2006 and raise an average of $18,000 to $20,000 annually. Altogether, the Roundup and Happy Canyon families have raised over $170,000, which has been donated to St. Anthony Hospital Cancer Clinic and Kickin' Cancer. The money is used for a variety of purposes, but primarily strives to aid patients with recovery support. Roundup and Happy Canyon support all people who strive to lighten the burden of their neighbors in times of need. In fact, we have a saying about overcoming adversity. Let her buck.
We're the only live local morning show that gives you news fresher than your coffee. The KUMA Coffee Hour. News Talk 1290 KUMA and FM 96.5.
This morning, our guests, Chris Elliott, OSU Extension Office in Corvallis, and Superintendent of Intermountain ESD, Mark Mulvihill. As our topic is the outdoor school, and a great topic it is there. We're bringing him in right now, so we're bringing Chris Elliott in right now, and so that'll we'll get started on our conversation as soon as we get these little technical arrangements going here. I think we're going to be getting closer. Yes, we are. We're in good shape now.
Nothing like live radio.
It is. There's nothing like it. Thankfully, there's nothing.
I think we have Chris Elliott on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Butch. I'm here.
There you are. I am doing well. Doing well. Great to have you on the KUMA Coffee Hour. Calling in from Corvallis, right?
Absolutely. It's a beautiful morning over here. A little smoky, but a great, bright, sunny day. How's it over there?
Oh, we're doing well. Going to get hot. But we're used to it, so I think we'll be okay. Also in the studio with me is Mark Mulvihill, superintendent of the Intermountain ESD. And Chris, he and I have been talking about outdoor school for the last 3 or 4 years here on the show. But it's good to have you join us this morning. And I want you to tell us a little bit about a listening session that's coming up this week here in Pendleton.
Absolutely. So we are actually headed to Pendleton after we're done with this radio interview this morning. Our advisory committee meeting, which is made up of about 30 individuals from across the state, is taking place tomorrow and Wednesday. And on Thursday, we're actually hosting a listening session for administrators of school districts, outdoor schools, teachers, both formal and informal, community members, and anyone just interested in learning more about outdoor school. And that will be taking place Thursday for people in the community to learn about what we're doing all across the state, but in particular the Pendleton area and in Eastern Oregon.
Oh, so the public is invited to attend this?
It is an RSVP event just based on size and space, but we're certainly inviting people to send us an email at outdoorschool@oregonstate.edu if they're interested in attending, and we'll certainly accommodate anybody that we can, space allows.
Were we, I guess we were in jeopardy of losing outdoor school at one time?
Well, actually, outdoor school has been, you know, taking place across the state for a long time, even in the early 60s, and it really was something that school districts had to fund on their own based on the resources that they had. And as resources became more tight and more mandates were placed on schools, a lot of them discontinued the program just because it's a pretty high-cost program. But because of Measure 99 funds, there's actually state funding now that allows us to fund every program in the state for every fifth and sixth grader. And so The good thing now is that we can ensure equity, we can ensure every student has this opportunity, and we can also start to improve quality and make sure that students are having a very positive experience.
Yeah, very good. Mark is here. Mark Mobihill is in the studio with me. Mark, talk a little bit about outdoor school in this area and how important it is to the school programs and to the students.
Well, you know, I have quite a history with outdoor school. Back in the day, Butch, when I was a teacher, a sixth grade teacher at Sherwood Elementary in the 90s, I was the coordinator for the Pendleton program. And Pendleton's had a long tradition of outdoor school, starting actually in 1970 with the current what's called Kiwanis Cabins for the old guard, but now is Buck Creek Corporation. And so that site has been near and dear to many, many East folks on this side of the mountain for many years. When I started at the ESD in 2008, we assumed the lease. Actually, the ESD assumed it with George Murdoch a couple years before, but we ramped up our outdoor school program, and basically the Intermountain ESD takes care of that facility, both Corporation and Buck Creek, for outdoor school for its schools. Over the past, I'd say, 8 to 9 years, predominantly Pendleton and Hermiston have used that site. Now that Hermiston is not part of the ESD, they have an alternative site that they use, but Pendleton continued. But since the passage of Measure 99, we've been able to have many other schools, as Chris said, has provided the funding lever the voters in Oregon have for a much more scaled-up program. And this year at our site, we had over 8 districts there. And we've also hired a coordinator, a name probably familiar to many, Bob McMillan, who actually was at the site back in 1970. He's our regional representative, and he helps facilitate for all 18 of our school districts in Eastern Oregon. Even those that don't use the Buck Creek Corporation site, Bob provides facilitation, coordination, and communication. And so he's our contact that works with Chris and the OSU Extension office for outreach and expansion of the program. I'm very excited about it. I know the districts are. I anticipate more days. I know the state, and Chris, maybe you can elaborate on this. You want to move more toward a 5-day, 4-night experience or 4 and 3, and I know that our districts are anticipating that as well. Chris?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know what, we pulled some numbers in the area there just to see the impact of funding, and we anticipate for this coming school year about $961,000 in funding, and that's really talking about Northeast Oregon schools in general. We're really talking about an increase. We have new schools on board. We have schools that are, as you mentioned, increasing the duration of their programming. And really what the state dollars will fund is minimum 3 consecutive days. And so there's some schools out there that are not experienced with outdoor school, and they're kind of jumping in. And so some of them have started with just 3 days. The students will be transported to a site. They'll go home at the end of the day, and they'll do that for three days in a row, all the way up through 6 days, 5 nights, which is kind of the maximum amount that can be funded through the state dollars. And so certainly there's a lot of flexibility between that 3 and 6. I think we do have, a lot of research data that shows that students have a really profound experience when you can increase the duration. 3 is an excellent experience, but, the longer they're out there in that natural environment, the better. And so our job is to help support schools get to that point, recognizing that for many communities that may not happen. We have a lot of schools on a 4-day school week, so for them maybe 4 days is their target or their sweet spot. The one point we really try to make is that our job is to support. It's not to mandate. It's not to specify. There's no state curriculum that you have to follow. Our role is to really empower districts to do what's best for their students and their communities.
Tell me about Measure 99 and how that is helping, and when did that go into effect, Chris?
So Measure 99 funds, the first year that we were actually able to roll those out to schools was this year. And so I started in my position September 1st in 2017, and the first role immediately was to get applications and funding out to school districts. And, schools knew that this was coming, but they were waiting to hear from OSU Extension on what that would look like, what they needed to do to access those funds. And so we immediately had to start an information campaign to let them know how they could access the funds and what they needed to do to move forward. And so this year, year one, closing out, we impacted over 36,000 students across the state. And just for kind of a reference, that's about 76% of the eligible fifth and sixth graders in the state of Oregon. So that also brought on 82 new schools across the state, so schools that had not been doing outdoor school. And that's about 7,000 new students that were impacted that otherwise weren't going to outdoor school. There's 121 school districts in all 36 counties being funded from Measure 99. And when you add that all up, it adds up to about 136,500 days spent outside in Oregon this year.
Chris, we got to get a break in, but we're going to come right back. So hang on the line there in Corvallis. We'll take a break. You're listening to the KUMA Coffee Hour here on a Monday. We're talking to Chris Elliott, OSU Extension Service, and Mark Mulvihill, Superintendent of the Intermountain ESD, all about outdoor school and a special listening session coming up here in Pendleton on Thursday. We'll be right back.
Miss a recent KUMA Coffee Hour?
I must have missed that.
Don't sweat it. Podcasts of past shows are now available at MyColumbiaBasin.com.
It's sending a transmission of some kind.
News so hot, it'll burn you. Where local news comes first. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Talk 1290 KUMA and FM 96.5.
This morning we're talking about outdoor school. Our guest, Chris Elliott, OSU Extension of Office of Corvallis, and Mark Mulvihill, Superintendent Intermountain ESD.
Yes, second segment of the show here on a Monday. Welcome back. Chris, let's go back to you. Talk a little bit about how hard that you're working to share best practices around the curriculum, delivery of products, and all the good things that takes place to make this thing happen.
You know, it's in starting this position, you know, you hear often the metaphor of being dropped on the treadmill, and it's on high. You know, certainly we wanted to make sure that we got funding to schools and that we also started to immediately provide resources. At the same time, we're actually hiring our staff, and so we have a very specialized team that's out there to do work to help schools. And so one of the first things that we were able to roll out is a rubric, which in education, it's just a way to evaluate yourself. It's a self-assessment to look and see how well we're doing impacting students. Obviously, outdoor school, we have all these stories, and those of us who've participated in it can tell you all the great things that we remember. But we also have to be accountable and make sure that the state dollars that we're spending are effective and that they're impacting students and improving education. So the rubric is a way for districts and providers to look at themselves and say, here's where we're at and here's what we can do to get better. The second thing it does is also ensures that we're meeting the requirements set forth by the legislature with Measure 99 funds. So they've given us a pretty lengthy list of things they want to see happen to ensure that we're spending, you know, those taxpayer dollars, those lottery dollars effectively. So we've done our best to give schools that first-year kind of self-assessment tool. But mentioning staff, you know, we actually just completed our Corvallis-based staff, so our team here, and we have someone who specializes in curriculum and professional development. So in addition to providing curriculum best practices, we're also going to have someone that has already started providing professional development for teachers, administrators, and outdoor school providers across the state, and they will have a network of folks, volunteers and educators who will help ramp up their impact. So it won't just be one person taking care of the whole state of Oregon. They'll just be coordinating that. We also have a person who is in charge of outreach and inclusion, and that person's job is to make sure that we hit that last, you know, 10 or 15% of students. So we still have districts that are not participating in outdoor school, and so really we see that as an education campaign to make relationships with them and educate them on the opportunities that exist for them, try to make their entry into outdoor school as seamless as possible. But also we realize that at some schools, not every student gets to attend outdoor school, and that's for a variety of reasons. So we've really tried to educate districts that there's funding available for them to reach those students who otherwise maybe wouldn't attend. So, you know, we've funded specialized wheelchairs to allow students to experience outdoor school on the beach. We've funded specialized programs to provide additional adult aides so that students with disabilities can attend outdoor school. So it's really about education. And then our third position is really about assessment. And we know that districts are, you know, having worked in administration in a school system myself, knowing that tests and testing is the reality, like it or not. And so, you know, student data and student achievement is important. And so we're really trying to provide support to schools to show them that this time that they're spending in the outdoors actually has a positive impact on student learning, which is really important. So we can make the argument that, you know, taking students out of the formal classroom and taking them out into a natural classroom is actually beneficial, and it doesn't take away from instructional time.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a few of the things just from year one, but we have a lot to do. And so one of the other things I'll mention really quickly is that we're also hiring 3 regional coordinators, and those folks will be on the ground in communities. And so our regional coordinator in Eastern Oregon will be housed in Baker City, and that position is posted and will close on the 7th, and we'll get that person on board as quickly as possible. So, you know, we're often, you can think of Corvallis over the hill, pretty far away. We're going to have someone embedded in the community there to really be able to make those relationships and also be able to visit and assist schools and providers when they need guidance because, you know, the reality is we're a 5-hour drive, and certainly technology helps with that a little bit. But having someone there in the community who understands how outdoor school works in each of the Oregon communities that we serve is important. So we will also have one in the metro region, the Portland area, and then someone also serving southern Oregon. And then the folks here in Corvallis will kind of serve the rest of the valley.
Okay, very good. Mark, comments?
I just kind of want to reiterate some of the things that Chris said about curriculum, and we know that the more hands-on activities we have for kids, whether it's programs like outdoor school or CTE programs, we see higher student performance. 91% of the students in Oregon that are in CTE programs, career technical, hands-on type learning courses, they graduate much higher, 91%, much higher rate than the state average of 77. So outdoor school, I think for those of us who we obviously see the impact, it's near and dear to us, but we also know that any type of hands-on learning, kids perform well in the classroom, whether the classroom's the traditional setting or not. I'll also add too, Butch, that over the last 3 years, we've been polling our communities, polling our parents on what they want to see for a better education in Oregon. And without question, what they come back with is they want to see a well-rounded education with activities and programs. So they want band, they want choir, they want outdoor school, they want a well-educated experience for their child, not just testing. And so, you know, in a way, when we look at accountability with these Measure $99, the accountability lies with our kids and our parents. Those are our customers. And I know without a doubt, outdoor school is a top priority, or this ballot measure wouldn't have passed in the first place.
Well, Chris, how did Oregon State University Extension Service, how did they become kind of the facilitator of this?
Yeah, you know, that all took place before I started here, but I can share with you the history a little bit. You know, one of the unique things about the Extension Service is that we have a presence in every county in Oregon. I think the Extension Service has a strong reputation for providing good information, providing assistance and support in communities across our state. I think Extension also has a good history of listening. You know, often at a university you can say we have the knowledge and we're going to bring it to you, and I think what makes our Extension Service unique is that we believe in those reciprocal relationships. We believe that communities have knowledge that we need to learn and pass on. And so I think that strong reputation really led lawmakers and the organizers of Measure 99 to think about, you know, if we receive these funds, where are we going to house them? Where are we going to situate them so that they have, you know, a strong impact on students and that we will be effective? And so we're very happy that Extension was chosen. I think it that presence that we already have, those relationships we've already built in communities, those will be strengthened. You know, we also have the largest youth development program, 4-H, is already underway across the state, and that's a, you know, nationwide, even worldwide program. So certainly there's some alignment there working with youth. I think that builds on that. And then the last thing is, you know, it does benefit that you have the full support of Oregon State University behind this program. So when we need guidance and assistance, or administrators reach out and say, hey, do you have any data that shows that this impacts, you know, student achievement in this area, or have you worked in this area? You know, we have unlimited resources and researchers on campus who are just chomping at the bit to look at that sort of information so that we can support outdoor school from a lot of different ways. And so we're excited about the opportunity, but we also recognize that, you know, our university is all about partnerships, and so certainly there's partnerships with other institutions, community colleges. Portland State has been doing a lot of work and research in outdoor school, U of O as well with teacher education, and so we're going to bring everyone together, communities, you know, families, organizations, universities, to make this happen. So it's really interesting. You know, we're competitive sometimes on the ball field, but when it comes to outdoor school, we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm. Just about out of time. Once again, this is coming up Thursday. Where and what time, this listening session?
Yeah, Thursday. It will take place at the Wild Horse Casino Resort. We're actually working with the Temiskaluk Institution. That's where our advisory committee meeting will be. But for details, we'd ask that folks email us at outdoorschool@oregonstate.edu, and we'll be able to send them all the information. Again, space is limited, but certainly we will try to accommodate as many folks as possible. And we will be out there again. This will not be the last time that we're in the community. We will be there regularly.
Okay, very good. Good to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Chris Elliott, OSU Extension Service, talking about outdoor school. Mark Mobihill, superintendent of the Intermountain ESD, is here. Mark and I'll be back to wrap up the show in just a moment.
We're the only live local morning show that gives you news fresher than your coffee. The KUMA Coffee Hour. News Talk 1290 KUMA and FM 96.5.
Now wrapping up our coffee hour, Superintendent Intermountain ESD Mark Mobihill and Butch Thurman.
Yes, and final segment of the show, the short segment. We've got just a couple of minutes. Grad rates, we talked about the top 10 list and beyond, and lo and behold, Pendleton's right in the mix in the top 10, Pendleton High. Talk a little bit about that success.
Well, it's really, really nice to see Pendleton School District recognized for their outstanding achievement. They're a really high-quality school district. I think, you know, at times we take for granted just how solid Pendleton is and how those kids perform and the quality of the teacher staff. When you look at measurements for a school district with staff retention, graduation rates, Pendleton is right up there, and as you're seeing in this statistic, in the top 10, which is quite an achievement for a 5A school, too. The larger the high school, the more challenging that it is. You know, you've seen that in Hermiston, who now really is a 6A school district with their grad rates. They've really struggled trying to address that. But Pendleton really has had a laser focus on interacting with kids and getting them to the finish line, and you know, they work very, very hard, as do all of our school districts, and our regional average is 7 points above the state. Our regional average is 84% grad rate, state's around 77. So we're very proud of the region. We're very proud of Pendleton for their good work.
Yeah, and to see such success, I mean, top 10 in the state, that really says something. So we congratulate our administrators and our teachers and the kids, and good hard work paid off.
That's exactly right, because at the end of the day, the most important indicator for a school is the graduation rate. When you think about it, when kids are in the system for 13 years, what is the end result? The end result is they graduate with a diploma that is a critical milestone for their success in the future. And that's what our goal is for every student to reach their full potential. You're not going to reach your full potential unless you have a high school diploma in 2018. And so to see 9 out of 10 kids in Pendleton, that's quite an accomplishment for all the parties, the parents, the kids, the school. And it's great. Well, it's good. You know, and sometimes with public education, you know, and Butch, we talk about funding and some of the negative aspects. But at the end of the day, it's about kids, and it's about them being successful. And you need to take note, like today, when that occurs. So appreciate you mentioning it.
Yeah. And I'm sure your team's ramping up. School's just a few weeks away now. That was a quick summer.
Oh, it just...
You've got a couple weeks to go.
You know what they say is you get older, Butch.
Yeah.
I think that's what's
happening. What's your staff doing right now just to get ready for the first day of school?
Well, ironically, today we're going... Our administrators are going on a very short retreat as we kind of check our goals and set a course for the future. But it's been a wild, wild summer for Intermountain ESD, in particular the technology department. We have purchased record numbers of technology devices and infrastructure for our schools, as we're in the information age, and that's really has become our full-time job. We hired over 10 student interns this year to help us with the computers and get them all ready for the school year. So we're really growing that program and really growing our technology. That would be the dominant thing. Our other departments have been very busy as well with teacher training and professional development.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much for stopping by on short notice. Appreciate you coming in.
Butch, Danny, great to see you.
All right. Mark Mobihill, superintendent of the Intermountain ESD, back again with us, talking about outdoor school. That'll wrap things up here on a Monday. We'll be back again tomorrow at 6:05, your Tuesday morning edition. On the Coffee Hour tomorrow, Pendleton Police Chief Stuart Roberts. We'll see you then.
This is your 24-hour news source. News Talk 1290 KUMA and FM 96.5 Pendleton and worldwide at MyColumbiaBasin.com.